Well, before we turn to our reading this morning, may I say how good it is to be with you, enjoying worship and fellowship. It took Moses 40 years to travel to the wilderness, a journey that should have taken, well, at the most, a good walk, let's say 3 weeks. It's taken me 20 years to get to Penrallt, a journey that should take me 5 minutes from Penywell. So I'm sorry, I'm going to make the most of it. I hope you've brought your packed lunches with you. I'm staying. At least you can say you'll be early for the evening service. So let's turn together to the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. We start reading in the 27th verse with Peter's confession of Christ. Jesus and his disciples went onto the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, then the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." And he said to them, "I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power." May God bless the reading of his holy word. The reading that comes right dead center of Mark's gospel. We're right at the midpoint of his story. It's the hinge, if you like, on which the plot turns. Mark has this wonderful symmetry to his gospel. And the turning point comes in the exact middle of the narrative. There are 16 chapters, as you know, 16 chapters in the Gospel of Mark, and this scene comes in the 8th chapter. Behind us, in the first 7 chapters, are the halcyon days of Galilee, those 3 years when he gathered those disciples together and taught them. And ahead of us now are those miserable days. Are those horrible days in Jerusalem and all that Jerusalem entailed. So this is the turning point. And the turning point is marked by Peter's confession, "You are the Christ." And Peter was always there, wasn't he? He was always sitting in the front row. He always had his hand up. He wanted to be in there with the answers. We've all had these people. We've all had these people in our classrooms over the years, I'm sure you have. They're sitting in the front row. They're there, they want to answer teacher's question. Miss, 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 sir, sir, sir. We had one in our class, I remember, vividly. I saw her, as it happens, the last time I was down home. She was passing the other side of the road, and she still had her hand up. She was waving, actually, but the vision I had was of Jane with a hand up. Miss, 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 sir, sir, sir. She went on my nerves. And I'm sure Peter could do that. He was there. He wanted to be there. He wanted to be popular. He wanted to be there with the answers. I know your answer. You are the Christ. Excellent, Peter. You get an A plus. Or is it an A star these days? And you know, I think Peter thought that, well, that's it. That's the end of it. That's the end of it. I've confessed you are the Christ. And the confession is what makes us a Christian. We confess Christ as Lord, Jesus as Savior, Jesus as Lord, and all the many titles we ascribe to him. That's what Peter thought. And that's why he's shocked at what comes next. He didn't expect it because Jesus says, okay, Peter, now that you've made that confession, you prepare yourself. You prepare yourself to take up that cross and follow me to Jerusalem. The Son of Man must suffer and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. That is, I'm heading for Jerusalem. And Peter says, hold on, Jesus. You're going too fast for me. Put the brakes on, Jesus. We're on the wrong road. We're going the wrong way. I thought we were going back to Galilee. They love you in Galilee. They love you there. The crowds are crazy about you in Galilee. Everything's fine. The sun always shines in Galilee. Why do you want to go to Jerusalem? Why go there? Jerusalem is a miserable place. Jerusalem is trouble, Lord. Why go there? And Mark says, Jesus rebuked Peter, get behind me, Satan. And I think that's a terrible, terrible, terrible scene, you know. It indicates Jesus' anger, his frustration with his disciples. They'd been there with him for 3 years, and yet the penny hadn't dropped. Yet they did not understand. All these years of teaching. And Jesus gathers them and explains that being a Christian doesn't mean just following him around Galilee. It also means following him to Jerusalem. And that's quite a different story. And we've got to realize that. Do you know what Galilee is? I'll tell you. Galilee is where the living is easy. Galilee is where all goes well. Galilee is where we go to workshops, we learn how to be Christians. It means retreats, Bible studies, it means sitting in worship, listening to sermons for 3.5 hours, 4 or 5, we haven't finished yet. All these wonderful times where we just sit around with other people who agree with us. We talk about the same things, talk about what it means to be a Christian, what Christ means to me. Galilee. Galilee. I've been in conferences, I've been on retreats, in church meetings where we have to go around tell of our joys, tell of our concerns, especially when we're trying to get to know each other. We do it in order to create a fellowship as soon as we can, because being church is fellowship. I'm not arguing, it works, it works. There's nothing wrong with that. It's the way we do things in Galilee. Let's be honest, that's where most of us started this journey, down in Galilee. That's where most of us met Jesus for the first time, in Galilee. But there's a difference between following Jesus around Galilee and following Jesus to Jerusalem. Which brings us to the verse 34. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples. And whenever that happens, it means that what follows is for everybody. It's not some esoteric teaching for super Christians. It's for everybody. It's for you. It's for me. He called the crowd to him along with his disciples. Listen, he said, if you want to come with me, if you want to be one of my disciples, you must deny yourself. That's where we start. That's the starting block. You deny yourself and follow me. Whoever will save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will find it. What profit is it going to be for you if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? And there they are. Those hard sayings, as we call them, of Jesus. As opposed to the comfortable sayings, those comfortable sayings, come to me all, you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's nice to know, it's good to know. I am with you always, yes, until the end of the world. I will not leave you alone. The good sayings. The nice sayings, the comfortable sayings. A hard saying is, now I'm headed for Jerusalem to take up a cross. And if you want to be one of my disciples, you must deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. It's different now. Being a disciple is different after Peter's confession. And I think I know why. I think Jesus is headed for Jerusalem because someday he knows that you and I will have to go there. We don't want to go there. There's nothing voluntary about going to Jerusalem. No one chooses to go to Jerusalem. No one chooses suffering. No one chooses to enter hard times in their lives. But someday we will have to go there. If we haven't reached there up to this morning, I can guarantee you, you will get there one of these days. You'll go there. Some silly things you do will lead you there from time to time. Some stupid decisions on your behalf will lead you there. But you didn't plan it. You planned on spending your life in Galilee, where the living is easy. Summertime and the living is easy. Where we talk about being Christian with other Christians. We care for one another. But one day we might find ourselves walking to Jerusalem alone. You know, life has that habit of just picking us up and dropping us. And putting us in situations that we didn't train for, we didn't volunteer for, we didn't want. But for better or for worse, That's the situation we find ourselves in. Sickness does it. Growing old does it. Disease does it. Bereavement does it. Those things, you know, that always happen to other people, they never happen to us. Disappointment does it. Things haven't turned out the way we thought they were going to turn out. We thought that our life was going to be different. Listen, Lord, I think you're going the wrong way here. I didn't sign up for this. Life on the streets of Jerusalem can be tough. Life on the streets of Jerusalem can be uncomfortable. In Jerusalem, there are powers who are determined to crush your faith. And on the streets of Jerusalem, there are plenty of people who are more than prepared to make fun of you. You who think, they think you to be naive for following a dreamer like Jesus. On the streets of Jerusalem, you have committee meetings where people are plotting to get rid of Jesus. And you know, you'll find it much harder at times, much easier, I mean, to lose yourself in the crowd than standing side by side with Jesus on the streets of Jerusalem. You remember that story, that night in Jerusalem. And who do you think he was? He was Peter. That Peter. We speak about this morning. That Peter who said, Lord, listen, I'll follow you wherever you go. Never mind what happens. I'll be there. I'll be with you. And then that night in Jerusalem, someone sees him. Looks at him. I've seen you somewhere before. I'm sure I've seen you somewhere before. No, he said. No, I don't think so. And yet again, you know, I'm certain I've seen you before. I've seen you. No, you haven't seen me before. We haven't met. I know I've seen you before. I've seen you. I've seen you with Jesus, that man Jesus. Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. And here on the streets of Jerusalem, Peter turns and tells this person, never met the man. Never met the man. Don't know him. You're barking up the wrong tree. And here, more or less, he tells Jesus, you're traveling down the wrong road. The disciples thought they could spend their whole lives in Galilee with the following Jesus is easy. But Jesus says, if you are my disciples, you will take up your cross and follow me to Jerusalem. So many, many people think that when the hard times come, that their faith has let them down. If you would be my disciple, listen again, deny yourself. What you do is you put aside that most important word in your vocabulary, which is me, 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 me. What do I get out of this? What do I get out of that? Me, me, me. Listen. What Jesus is saying, more or less, is I couldn't care less what you've done up to now. I couldn't care less who you think you are, how important you think you are. Your pride will be no good to you when you enter the gates of Jerusalem. Because things in life, they reveal to you your mortality, your sinfulness. But the first thing you have to take along with you on your journey to Jerusalem is a case full of humility. You must lose your old self. Let that old self go. He who would save his life on this journey is going to lose it, and whoever is willing to let go is going to find a new life. Life isn't going to be the same again. So we need to leave the old behind and go into the future in faith, that when we let go, we know that he never lets go. Someone asked Mother Teresa at one time, when was she called to Christ's work? Her answer was, I received two calls. The first was to be a follower of Christ. The first was to meditate. The first was to worship. The first was to get to know him better. The second call came, she says, on a train riding to Darjeeling in India in 1946. And that was the call to minister to the poor and the dying in Calcutta. She says yes to the first, and she says yes to the second. Hers, of course, was a very special vocation. And I doubt that many of us will have a similar call. But you will get a call. That call comes to us in a service like this, not this service this morning in particular, but every service is hand knocking, and it's important that we listen to that knock. It may be the last knock we hear. Two calls. The first call, the fourth call, was to follow Jesus around Galilee and learn of him. The second call is to follow him to Jerusalem with the cross. Two different stories. An old friend of mine, a colleague in the ministry, died some years ago. He used to work at one time in the early days of Granada TV in Manchester. He was quite a character. And when visiting the studios in Granada, he used to just pass, walk in. Everybody knew him. Everyone knew Ridwan. He just waved, good morning, and away to go. But one morning, there was a new face at reception. He had a cap and a uniform. And you give someone a cap and a uniform, and that spells trouble. And Ridwan goes up to the door in his usual way. Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you. And then comes the cap and the uniform. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir. Where do you think you're going? And Ridwan looks at him. And the doorman adds, are you an actor? No, says Ridwan, I'm real. So are we just going through the motions? Are we acting? Or are we real? And that's the $64,000 question for every one of us in this service this morning. It's good to be here. It's good to praise. It's good to worship. It's good to be together. But are we real? Do we want to stay in Galilee? where the sun shines more or less round the year? Or do we go to Jerusalem where it even snows on days when the sun shines down in Tiberias? We must decide for ourselves, but let us glorify God in all our doings and in all our works as we look to a new week. God be praised. Amen.